For example, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he wrote articles that were called Tales of My Spiritual Master in the magazine that Bhaktivinoda Thakur started by 1917, Sajjana Toshani. And there we most of the information we have is from there. So Gorky Shordas Babaji, he was born in Vaigania in India, West Bengal, where now is Bangladesh. And he was born from a Vaishya family. So that's also very interesting. It shows the particular mood of the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, which is based on quality and not in janma, in birth, regarding who is a brahmana, who is qualified to be a Vaishnava. Our philosophy doesn't matter if you are Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nasya, Shudra, Kenenaya, that even if you know the science of Krishna, Krishna Tattva Pita, then you are a guru. It doesn't matter if you're a Vaishya, Shudra, etc. Of course, Gorky Shordas Babaji, he wasn't a Vaishya. He was a pure Vaishnava. His life, we can divide his life in the first, more like a 20, 25 years, he spent in household life. Then he moved to Vrindavan after the death of his wife, and the last years from the when he was 60 years old, he went to Navadvip and spent his last days in Navadvip, Mayapur. So from the beginning, he was known first under the name of Bansidas. And he got married, and he was working as a broken grain. I don't know exactly what the function is. Your broken grains. Do you know exactly? Okay. When his wife died, he decided to take the life of a renunciant, and he met Bhagavat Das Babaji, who was a foremost disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji. We know Jagannath Das Babaji, he's a Shiksha Guru of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So later on, he was instructed to go to Vrindavan, and he spent like 3 years in Vrindavan, learning from different great devotees. And after that, he was instructed, according to some sources I look, he was instructed by Jagannath Das Babaji. There are different opinions. He was instructed to go to Navadvip Dham. During his times in Vrindavan, he visited Navadvip many times, and he did many pilgrimages. And he was such a great Vaishnava and Babaji that he got the name of Bhajanandi, because of his great renunciation and focus on bhajan, on the holy name. He's very particular because he was not a Gosti Anandi, but a Bhaja Anandi. A Gosti Anandi is a preacher, or a great acharya, who preached on the platform of a Madhyama Adhikari, which means that he makes difference, distinctions. It's very important for preaching, so he can distinguish between devotees, the Lord, envious people, and innocent. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explained that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he was very friendly with some people who used to come to him. There are different aspects of his character. One was that he was like equal to everyone, even like some people who may come to approach to him in order to get some benefits, material benefits, but he won't say anything sometimes. He will be also with great Vaishnavas. So he was in Madhyama, in Uttama Adhikari platform. He was a Mahabhagavat. They don't feel themselves the need that they should go and preach, because they think Abhasanandi think that he's very low and he sees everyone as devotees sometimes. Depends on the situation. He doesn't see any need to go and preach. Prabhupada also, regarding this aspect of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he said in Kali Yuga everyone is a rascal, no? There are very bad quality. Manda sumanda matayo, no? People are lazy for a spiritual life. And Prabhupada was explaining that it's very difficult to preach in Kali Yuga. Very difficult. When Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he experienced many difficulties in organizing an institution for organized preaching. Prabhupada also, he has to struggle a lot, even with his disciples, to form ISKCON, to take the society, to open temples. So he was saying, it's very difficult to preach, but therefore, he said, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji used to say, let them go to hell, everyone. Because in Kali Yuga is very difficult. Of course, it wasn't a lack of compassion, because even he was dedicated to the bhajan, and he wasn't impelled to go out and preach. He made only one disciple. He gave initiation to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who was the most powerful preacher we can conceive. And so just by his power of his bhajan, he inspired Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who later inspired Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, although he wasn't a bhajanandi, he also preaching through his disciples, like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. So now we are celebrating his disappearance day. So that's the pure chanting. I will read something from Prabhupada when he was giving a lecture in India about, I think it was Jamil pastimes, but at one point he was talking about Abhadutta and Yamuna Devi Dasi. We know she's a great disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Every day we hear her song, Govinda. And Prabhupada answered the Yamuna Devi Dasi about Abhadutta. Okay. I want to show what he's explaining. So he first said, okay, he's a Paramahansa, Navaduta is a Paramahansa. And then he related it with Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So he said, Paramahansa, they do not come in the society because people may imitate and they fall down. Therefore, they are aloof, just like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He was aloof, Vajananandi. So here Prabhupada explained the reason of Vajananandi, a pure Vajananandi, is aloof because he's not taking the role of a of giving the example in his behavior, and he doesn't want others to imitate him, so he tries to remain aloof. And that was a characteristic of Gorky Shodas Babaji, to remain aloof. Even he used to chant his bhajans, the holy names, in lavatories, in like another world, but I would say bathrooms, where there was obnoxious smell, so people would be discouraged to approach him in those places. It's very interesting because there have been many instances in our own movement, and Prabhupada warns everyone in his books about taking this role of chanting in a secluded place, because also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Vaishnava Ke, a book he wrote, the Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur warn us to imitate that level and go and just chant, for example, in Vrindavan or Mayapur in a secluded place. Why? So history has shown that, and they confirm that, if you take that position without the proper qualification, you end up cheating, mityachara. A person who pretends to show others that he's in a very advanced position, but actually he's very low. I remember one Prabhupada disciple was explaining that in a lecture, I think Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was saying that in New Vrindavan there was one devotee who wanted to take the life of a Babaji in Vrindavan. So he explained to the devotees, and the devotees told him, Prabhupada is discouraging that practice for us. He said that Westerners are not able to take those practices. So better you stay here and do seva, etc. But this devotee was very insistent. No, I will go. Actually, Prabhupada is saying that for those who are, like, in general, for people. But I have been chanting for a while, and I feel myself very, very potent to do that. So he went to India. So some time passed, and once the Sankirtan devotees, they were traveling somewhere in US, and they stop in a gas station after like 1 year, maybe 1 year and a half, and there was one person came to pump the gas, and they saw each other, and he looks at the same devotee. Prabhu, you aren't supposed to be in India. He said, oh well, I was in India, I got tired of chanting. I got married and now I have to work. So I'm here. So that happened. Many devotees have experience with devotees who try to go to India in that mood, and then they end up doing other things. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so strong in this point, to don't imitate, that although he was totally qualified to take the life of Babaji, he never took Babaji initiation. He, in order to respect the position of Gorky Shodas Babaji, he took sannyas, because sannyas is a lower position than Babaji, and is in the Varna Ashram. Babaji is someone who is transcendental to all the varnas and duties in society. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took the role of a preacher, and he took sannyas. So that's a very powerful example, and you won't want to take that, the life of Babaji, one have to think about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada gave Babaji initiation in, I think it was in Chicago, to a devotee who had, he was diagnosed with some kind of cancer, and he wanted to take sannyas, and Prabhupada said, no, sannyas is for preaching, but you are going to die. So better you, maybe you can take Babaji. And he said, oh yes, I can go and chant in Vrindavan my last days. So that devotee took Babaji initiation and he went to Vrindavan. And after a while, he came back. And he started writing letters to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I need some seva. I need to do something like substantial. And Prabhupada said, now you took Babaji, you just chant. He said, if you took Babaji, stick to that. Just only chant. So the devotee got restless, and then he came back, stayed for a while in the temple, and then he got married, and then he never died. I mean, someday. But the devotee is talking, I think something happened with his sickness, and he recovered. So that's the history of Babaji in ISKCON, the only Babaji. But nowadays, I met like during my, I haven't been practicing for only like more than 12 years, 13 years, and I had met like 10 devotees during this time that they say like, I'm going to take Babaji. One of them became like crazy. And then he came back to Argentina. So he was in our Sankirtan party. And then he went, he took initiation with Babaji, and then he came back one day to the temple and asked forgiveness. So something to think about, because we think that it will never happen, that nobody will think like that, but many, especially new devotees, they think like that. And since now it's very easy to go to India and you just stay there. But Gorky Shorda Babaji, he was aloof and chanting in a bathroom. Neophytes who do that, they will go and make a video on YouTube, something, and say, I'm here, everyone, if you want to know where I am, I'm chanting holy names. I got initiation by this Babaji, and they will have Facebook, many things. That happened, I saw that. There were some messages. Okay. So another aspect that Srila Prabhupada emphasized on Gorky Shorda Babaji was his akinchana gocharam aspect, which means that he was totally dependent of the Lord and he didn't have anything material, just the shelter of Krishna. And interestingly, Prabhupada compares the mood of Gorky Shorda Babaji with his own mood and the mood of other acharyas. For example, first he said that we have to be akinchana gocharam, but then one may ask also why Srila Prabhupada constructs so many temples. And so Prabhupada answered that question. He said, we should always remember that we possess this nice house not for our comfort, but people will come because they are not accustomed. If we could have invited people, come and sit down on this Mayapur ground. No, there was no possibility. Now the devotees are doing the Vedic Planetarium temple. This is huge, it's like, it would be like a Vatican. So one may say, but what is the akinchana gocharam aspect of this movement? So Prabhupada explains here, he said, therefore, we must possess Krishna temple very nice so that people will come and we shall preach. That is philosophy. Not that because we have got this nice house, this is the warning, therefore we should be very much attached. Attachment must be there for Krishna's service. The temple must be very clean. The establishment must be very nice. What for? For attracting devotees. This is the purpose, not for our personal benefit. That is the way. My Guru Maharaj introduced this big, big palace's temple. That is the contribution of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because the method because the Goswamis, they worship Krishna in a different way, going to Vrindavan, living underneath the tree, and one night underneath one tree, next night, next tree. This Vairagya is not possible for the Western people. Therefore, we require this building. That is a contribution, unless they live comfortably, if it is not possible. And we have to preach all over the world. So he's giving the example of, for one side, the Goswamis, that they live under a tree, like Gorki Sarda Babaji do the same in Vrindavana and also in Navadvip, although later on in Navadvip he got a small cabin, something like a hut, in the courtyard of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he was still very renounced. And Prabhupada is comparing, like, the Goswamis himself, they're doing many temples, but the spirit is that it's for Krishna. So actually Prabhupada didn't have anything. He even will spend in the temple no more than 3 days, although he had many temples. And Mayapur, he wanted to be like very opulent just for attracting people and preach. And the Goswami, they were totally renounced, but at one point, like Sanatan Goswami, he accepted a lot of money from a merchant who offered him help, and he constructed the Madan Mohan temple. So the thinking of Sanatan Goswami was, okay, now for the sake of Madan Mohan, that is hanging under a tree, because he was worshipping Madan Mohan under a tree, and Madan Mohan was hanging from the tree. So he, out of love, decided to make a huge temple for Madan Mohan because the opportunity came. The same way Rupa Goswami, he constructed Govindashi temple also he received a donation and he utilized all the money for that. So in the same way, Prabhupada brought that mode of Yukta Vairagya. But it still is very dangerous, so therefore Prabhupada is warning us. It's a fact. In that lecture, it's Srimad Bhagavatam 1826, October 6th. It was a famous lecture because Prabhupada explained the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was kind of regretting that he built a big temple with marble and donation, because then the devotees were fighting about the different rooms, etc. And he was thinking in selling everything and then print books. And then Prabhupada gave the famous speech in this same lecture, that if my spiritual master told me if I ever got money, I should print books. So many devotees from that time, they took the mission of book distribution. And in that same lecture, Prabhupada talked about Gorki Sarda Babaji, how he was comparing that he was also a preacher in another way. So just to finish, the last instruction of, we can say, the Gorki Sarda Babaji gave through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was at the time when he passed away. He went to Navadvip in 1887 and he passed away in 1915, November. At that time he was living in Mayapur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur found out that Gorki Sarda Babaji had passed away, and he saw the situation was that many Babaji's there and other devotees who were responsible for temples, they were fighting. Because they were fighting about who will own the body of Gorki Sarda Babaji and make a samadhi, a tomb, because that will give fame to the person to the temple who will organize the samadhi. So they were ready to touch the body and take it, and there was some dispute there. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he found out and he went immediately there. So I want to read that part and finish. So this is taken from words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and then put in a book called Babaji Maharaj. His samadhi guru, of course, of Gaur Kishorda Babaji, became an important place of pilgrimage, and some of the heads of the local Vaishnava center saw this as an opportunity to raise money for the maths and even for their own sense gratification. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati ran to the site, but when he arrived, some of the local Babajis objected. He's not a sannyasi, because at that time he was a brahmachari, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How can he give samadhi to such an exalted and renounced personality? But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati responded forcefully, I am the only disciple of Babaji Maharaj, and although I have not accepted sannyas, I am a celibate brahmachari, not secretly addicted to abominable habits or involved with illicit activities. Who among you can say that in the last year you have had no sex or illicit contact with a woman? This is very... When I read this, I was a little bit discouraged, because I didn't know... I thought someone will fit the standard. But Bhaktisiddhanta said, please, step forward. Everyone was silent. Then he challenged, who has refrained for the last 6 months from having a relationship with a woman? And they were all like renunciant there, sannyasis, babajis. Everyone was silent. Next, for the last 3 months, silence. So again, for the last 1 month, nobody. Again, silence. And then he said, the last 3 days, nobody stand up. Very discouraging. So he was so powerful that nobody, he said, if you stand up and you are not up to the standard, I will curse you. So everyone knew he was a powerful personality, so they couldn't fake it. So nobody stand up. So another incident in the during that time was that then, the one person said, I remember that Babaji Maharaj said that when he died, we should take his body all over Navadvip and drag the body, because he wanted to take all the dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Something like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur became furious. Because he said, you're a rascal. What are you trying to do with the body of my spiritual master? So you don't understand the mood. And then he refers to Lord Chaitanya, how he properly honored Haridas Thakur when he passed away, that Lord Chaitanya was holding Haridas Thakur and he was dancing and he made all the rituals but he will never take the body of Haridas Thakur. So out of humbleness, he explained, Gaur Kishorda Babaji spoke like that. But it doesn't mean that we have to do that. So he took the body of Gaur Kishorda Babaji and made a place in a samadhi that he made in front of the Ganges and in front of the side of Mayapur from the other side. And later on, the samadhi was moved to to Mayapur by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the Gaudiya Math Center there, because the Ganges start entering into the flowing in the place where the samadhi was. So then he moved and he made a replica of Vrindavan in that place to honor Gaur-Kishore Das Babaji. So there are many things about Gaur-Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj that you can, there are more books now. I think in Bhaktisiddhanta Sai Baba there must be a lot of information. So you can take this day for reading about him. But one thing that struck to me is this, the level of renunciation and the contrast with how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took another direction in the preaching, and how he respected that saintly attitude of Gaur-Kishore Das Babaji. But he took a completely opposite direction, in the sense that he is the first in starting institutions in the Vaishnava tradition. So in the future, it's happening now that many devotees want to have more the mood of non-institutions and more like maybe imitating the mood of Babaji's, like that. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this strong example that for out of respect he didn't took Babaji, and he organized the preaching just to prevent many things that would happen by taking Krishna consciousness in a cheap way and imitating great personalities who are beyond the mood of nature. So he gave us a structure that Srila Prabhupada followed, a structure for neophytes, like that it is good, it's very good. And even if we become great Mahatmas, like we are seeing our examples of Prabhupada disciples, they still follow in that direction. And Prabhupada also did like that. He always keep himself in a Madhyama Adhikari mood of preaching, and took a lot of travel to do just to for the sake of preaching Krishna consciousness. But they always honor Gaur-Kishore Das Babaji, not imitating but respecting him by doing this great movement. If someone like Gaur-Kishore Das Babaji will come here, we won't allow him to come. Very difficult to recognize. He used to walk naked sometimes, dressed with a coping, so his behavior was beyond our understanding and beyond our imitation. So basically, the way we are, is conceived the preaching of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there is no play for this. Obviously, because even if one tries, it will be very difficult for the devotee. How you can give someone to invite and give a class if he doesn't behave? So if this is an instruction that we should somehow or other preach. And Gaur-Kishore Das Babaji, he had another instruction. The instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to Yaredeka Tareka Ho Krishna Upades. But he had an instruction for Lord Chaitanya, coming from the Acharyas, to live as a Babaji. But all of us, we are following the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, there is no place for those practices, at least in within the institution. At least someone had that instruction from a guru. Okay. So, is there anyone who wants to comment something? Or correct if I say something wrong? Prakta Prabhu. Yes, it's there also. Yes. That is taken from the Sanatana Tosani, I think, that is placed in that book. Yeah. Okay. So, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you.